Welcome, henchmen, to another discussion and informative packed episode of Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man. In the podcast, we take two of your favorite characters from fiction, break down a tale of the tape to discuss their physical abilities and skills before focusing on important combat situations in a crossover battle. In the end, the hosts individually decide who wins based on the strongest evidence presented. As always, I'm your host, JVD, and with me is a fellow member of the Villains Man, the host of the Phantom Fusion podcast, my good friend, Hawk the Horrible. Hawk, what's your opinion of this matchup for today?
This is a decisive match. I think fans are going to be back and forth on how this goes.
And what Hawk's referring to is today we are talking about Batman versus Doctor Doom. Now, right out of the gate, most people that read comics or just know anything about comics in general think, oh, this is a horrible, horrible mismatch. But here on the show, we always talk battlegrounds, which gives some people some type of advantage, which we've always claimed that's what Batman needs. And then after a couple of talks on some message boards that we're a part of and some sites with some of our fans, and then even we talked to a couple of our friends out on Twitter about it, we decided we're going to do it here on the show. Now, last year we actually did Batman vs. Doctor Doom, but we did Infamous Iron Man vs. the Hellbat Armor with Brian from Cheers Comics. I would tell you to go subscribe to his podcast, but he doesn't have his podcast anymore. He sells comic books online, so if you're into comics, hit Brian up, go buy some comics from him, tell him JVD from the Villains Man sent you. Now, with what both these guys bring to the table, we're trying to shave a lot of time off today's episode, because it's going to be long, usually a long form here. So here's your warning. We're going to talk spoilers from the comics. These guys have been around since the 1940s and 1960s. So technically there shouldn't be any spoilers, but we are warning you, we are referencing a lot of the stuff from comics. Now also remember, these are just our opinions as we're discussing these fights. So don't take them as facts unless you want to. And if you do so, you do so at your own risk. So, Hawk, anything you want to point out, get out of your system before we move on to the rules of Crossover Collision?
No, not really. I'm just excited.
All right. Well, please read us the rules of the Battleground version of Crossover Collision.
All right. Rule number one, the combatants will battle in three separate encounters, each in a different randomly chosen battleground. Each battle is a chance encounter to eliminate prep time that begins at 100 feet apart. Rule 2. During the battles, neither combatant can leave the specified battleground, regardless if the combatant has the means to do so. Our eight battlegrounds are a jungle, city street, a salvage yard, the rooftop of a 10-story building, a medieval water cistern, a warehouse, a cargo ship in the middle of the bay, and finally, a chemical plant. 3. Only standard feats, powers, equipment, scene, and the chosen medium for the combats can be referenced. No plot-induced stupidity, plot armor, or MacGuffins are allowed. Therefore, every reference brought up needs to be within reasonability and common throughout the combatant's history. Number 4. All combatants must be discussed based on how they are depicted in the chosen medium, such as morales, how they actually fight in combat. 5. All crossover collisions can be won by death, KO, or incapacitation. Specific battlegrounds have certain rules that allow victory that combatants are not aware of during a fight. A battleground cannot be won via battlefield removal, mind control, outside interference, or crazy powers such as reality warping or control over time. 6. Victory for a crossover collision will be determined by our point system.
Now, there is a point system we developed, and we scored all fights based on points. You've kind of got a taste of that here in the past with if we had a tie in Season 3. Now, the point system for our battlegrounds are completely different, and Mr. Horrible here is going to break it down for you.
All right, the point system. Each battleground is worth 4 points. The host will individually determine how those points are distributed between the combatants based on the discussion between them and how strongly or poorly they individually think certain situations may favor combatant. A combatant who dominates the battleground gains 4 points while their opponent receives none. If a combatant is heavily favored but has possibility of losing, they receive 3 points. Their opponent receives 1 for having a small chance of winning the battleground. The points are split at 2 apiece between the combatants if they both have a solid chance of winning the battleground. At the end of 3 battleground discussions, the host will tally up their individual scores before combining them to declare a winner for a crossover collision. In the event of a tie, another battleground will be randomly selected per the rules and discussed in the attempt to declare a winner.
So if you're wondering, how would we randomly determine battlegrounds? As everybody knows, me and Evan the Great are huge tabletop RPG players, and we randomly roll this D8 dice to determine what battleground's chosen. The number comes back up on the dice between battleground 2 or 3, we just literally re-roll the die until one of the numbers we need shows up. And basically, the point of this is to not show favoritism to either of the combatants. All right, now I've got to go over powers, abilities, and equipment, which this is going to be pretty long for him, people, so bear with me. Let's talk about Batman first. Powers, abilities. Obviously, as a genius level IQ, he's a master combatant and tactician. He has that peak human physical attributes for his body. He also has indomitable will. He's the world's greatest detective. He also, surprisingly to most of you people out there, you probably don't know this, he has knowledge of the occult and magic, which is one of the things that people kept bringing up to us. So here's some examples of his spellcasting. He knows the exorcism spell, which he uses on an alternate dead man to entrap him in a crystal. He's dispelled Cersei's magic. He has casted magical chains to bind Superman. And here recently, with the chains, is he's created magical armor to deal with powerful enemies such as alternative versions of Superman, which basically makes him a large mech that fires Eldritch Blast that can take down 3 Supermen at one time. So these are some of the things that were pointed out to us. Now, he's learned all this magic from Zatanna, the backwards magic, so go figure. So as for equipment, let's talk about Batsuit first. He has Kevlar bodysuit with some titanium plating, bulletproof against small caliber bullets, depending on who's writing the book. They are also blade resistant. He has resistance to all types of impacts from explosions, blunt force trauma. The suit is fireproof. It's insulated against electric shock. Gauntlets and boots are nullified to help reduce the impact of some of his punches against weaker opponents if he needs to. It also has a localized EMP for shutting off cameras and other such. The cape, it can become rigid with small electrical shock, allowing it to glide. You see a lot of that in the Nolan films. It is also lead-lined for blocking X-rays. There's your answer for every time he disappears right in front of Superman. Let's talk about the cowl. It has a heads-up display. It has infrared and night vision. It has auditory sensors. It has scanners. It has a translator. It has signal scramblers. It has a taser security system just in case it's removed. I don't think Dr. Doom cares who the Batman is. He probably already knows. Let's talk about that utility belt with all those wonderful toys. He has a gas-powered grappling gun, batarangs, all types of those. More on those later. He has smoke pellets, grenades, or canisters. Types of other grenades and canisters he has: flash, tear gas, knockout. He carries small explosives. He has a small cutting laser. He has lockpicks, a gas mask, a rebreather, handcuffs, first aid kit, mini GPS trackers, a net gun. He carries bolas. He carries hardening foam capsules to encase people in foam. He has vials of acid. He has a dart gun with tranquilizers. He has a high voltage taser and the almighty MacGuffin, the kryptonite ring. Let's go back and talk about those batarangs. He has the standard battering. He has explosive batterings. He has electric shock batterings. He has sonic batterings. He has heated or hot plated batterings. He has remote control batterings. And he also has EMP batterings. Now, one thing me and Evan the Great, even though he's not here and I have my great friend Hawk the Horrible here, that we talked about doing this year, is we're going to allow vehicles. Yes, vehicles. And we're going to talk about the Batmobile. And here's just a good breakdown of the Batmobile over the years. So, onboard instruments. It has a closed circuit television. It has a handset. Handset with direct hotline to Commissioner Gordon. Man, you got to bear with me. There's a lot going on here, and I'm already thirsty. I haven't even got to Doom yet. It has GPS mapping and tracking. It has a localized radar. It has built-in sonic rangefinder. It has a shortwave police radio with microphone. It has a Geiger counter, has direct satellite link to the Bat computer, and sometimes to the JLA computer. It has a sensor array, enhanced intel for retcon capabilities. It has a highly sophisticated AI system. It has a remote control guidance system. It has an emergency dashboard signal to the Justice League. Let's talk about equipment. It has spare Batman and Robin costumes and utility belts. It has gas masks and breathing apparatuses. It has emergency searchlights. It has a traveling crime lab. It has portable first aid kits, a fire extinguisher, industrial tool set, inflatable rubber rafts. Don't know why we would need those. It has containment units. It's not like he's going to capture Doom, even though that's the goal. He's probably going to have to kill Doom to stop him. He has grappling equipment. I say that, but it's Dr. Doom and it's Batman. Batman has a good chance of catching everybody. And just for our guys over at the Multiverse of Badness, this was listed for the Batmobile. It has Abesto costumes. Go listen to them, guys. They have a hilarious comic book podcast. As for the mobility of the Batmobile, it has a Wayne Tech 1200 BHP hybrid power cell connected to nitromethane afterburner that gives it all that horsepower and speed. To deal with all that, it is fitted with advanced synthetic fiber composite hydraulic gyroscopic static bonded tires. Jesus, that is a lot. These tires are set with hydraulic impact absorbers and a graphite composite high-speed hydraulic cylinder air brakes with regenerative energy mechanisms to deal with all that power as well. Now, to control the turns and angles of dealing with all this speed, he has a multi-purpose grapple claw. I'm glad Hawk has his mic on mute because I imagine he's only laughing at all of this. And just in case he crashes during all that, he has electromagnetic ejector seats. Let's talk about the weaponry. He has a laser infrared homing 5mm high explosive CL-20 HMX crystallizing mobile missiles. Yeah, you heard me right. He has a 25mm Vulcan cannon with 60mm high cannon explosive penetrator shells mounted to each side of the Batmobile that can come out on command. And he also has a riot suppressor, which sounds very mediocre compared to the rest of this. For his offenses, he has 120mm carbon nanotube, a great explosive reactive armor plating. Jesus Christ, where did they come up with all this? He has electroshock defenses when touched, and it has smoke screen devices. Why can't all of it be that simple? Alright, let's go ahead and move on to Dr. Doom power and abilities. I promise you this will not be as long. He has a genius level IQ, he is a master combatant, a tactician, he has indomitable will, and much like Batman, he knows has knowledge of the occult and magic. Some spell casting from Dr. Doom. He has Eldritch or Mystical Blast. He has Force Field, Teleportation, Dimensional Travel, Dispelling of Magic. He can summon portals or gateways. He can summon otherworldly entities. He can also banish them and people if he chooses so. He has Elemental Manipulation, he has Enchantments, he has Telekinesis, Hypnotism, Mental Defenses, Healing, and mystical ensnaring traps. He's also a highly skilled pianist and painter. Let's talk about that armor. That's the only equipment Dr. Doom carries, which is enchanted titanium armor, or enhanced titanium armor. I'm almost done here, folks. Bear with me. So, it enhances its strength. It enhances its durability. It has concussive blast gauntlets. It has a force field generator. It has a neural disruptor, which is basically electrical shock defenses. It has energy adapters. It has a magnetic polarity controller for people like Magneto. It has flight. It has a teleportation device. It has infrared vision. It has a sensor array. It has solar energy absorption to fuel the thermal units that power the suit. It also has a life support system. Hawk, after all this ranting, which is probably close to 10 minutes, please tell me you have no questions and we can continue.
Nope.
All right. Thank you. Now, let's talk about the teletape. Is it fair to say that Doom controls most of the teletape?
I don't know. Batman is very talented at throwing batarangs from a mile out and still hit his target. Entirely joking.
Well, throwing batarangs at a mile out is why we're actually going to talk Battlegrounds today, which is going to make this very interesting because that's where Batman holds a lot of his advantage, because Battlegrounds are a weapon to him. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take our break. I'm going to play a promo from Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, which I'm bringing back from hiatus now that, you know, my son's a little bit older now. But it's where I traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. You can go check that out. There's close to about 20 episodes, and hopefully here real soon I start getting those back out every Wednesday. So take a listen to that. And when we come back, me and Hawk are actually going to dive in to how battlegrounds play out between the Dark Knight Detective and the Lord of Latveria. Did the Iron Fist Netflix series leave a bad taste in your mouth? Are you caught up in the hype of Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings? Have you ever wondered what these characters' true origins and adventures are like, but you don't have the time to read through hundreds and hundreds of issues? Then subscribe to the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, where I, JVD, traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. Each week, I break down a story arc and discuss the good and the bad within the pages to save you hours of reading through comics so you can focus on the best of which each character has to offer. New episodes drop every Wednesday for you to listen to on your way to your local comic book shop to pick up your pull list. And welcome back to Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JVD, and Hawk the Horrible, as we get ready to tangle with Batman versus Dr. Doom and our battlegrounds. And if you have made it this far and you think Batman stands any chance against Dr. Doom in our battlegrounds, then you're a fool. And April Fools, no way in the world Batman beats Dr. Doom.
Lovely juices.
Welcome, henchmen, to another discussion and informative packed episode of Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man. In the podcast, we take two of your favorite characters from fiction, break down a tale of the tape to discuss their physical abilities and skills before focusing on important combat situations in a crossover battle. In the end, the hosts individually decide who wins based on the strongest evidence presented. As always, I'm your host, JVD, and with me is a fellow member of the Villains Man, the host of the Phantom Fusion podcast, my good friend, Hawk the Horrible. Hawk, what's your opinion of this matchup for today?
This is a decisive match. I think fans are going to be back and forth on how this goes.
And what Hawk's referring to is today we are talking about Batman versus Dr. Doom. Now, right out of the gate, most people that read comics or just know anything about comics in general think, oh, this is a horrible, horrible mismatch. But here on the show, we always talk battlegrounds, which gives some people some type of advantage, which we've always claimed that's what Batman needs. And then after a couple of talks on some message boards that we're a part of and some sites with some of our fans, and then even we talked to a couple of our friends out on Twitter about it, we decided we're going to do it here on the show. Now, last year we actually did Batman vs. Dr. Doom, but we did Infamous Iron Man vs. the Hellbat Armor with Brian from Cheers Comics. I would tell you to go subscribe to his podcast, but he doesn't have his podcast anymore. He sells comic books online, so if you're into comics, hit Brian up, go buy some comics from him, tell him JVD from the Villains Man sent you. Now, with what both these guys bring to the table, we're trying to shave a lot of time off today's episode, because it's going to be long, usually a long form here. So here's your warning. We're going to talk spoilers from the comics. These guys have been around since the 1940s and 1960s. So technically there shouldn't be any spoilers, but we are warning you, we are referencing a lot of the stuff from comics. Now also remember, these are just our opinions as we're discussing these fights, so don't take them as facts unless you want to. And if you do so, you do so at your own risk. So, Hawk, anything you want to point out, get out of your system before we move on to the rules of Crossover Collision?
No, not really. I'm just excited.
All right. Well, please read us the rules of the Battleground version of Crossover Collision.
All right. Rule number one, the combatants will will battle in three separate encounters, each in a different randomly chosen battleground. Each battle is a chance encounter to eliminate prep time that begins at 100 feet apart. Rule 2. During the battles, neither combatant can leave the specified battleground, regardless if the combatant has the means to do so. Our eight battlegrounds are a jungle, city street, a salvage yard, the rooftop of a 10-story building, a medieval water cistern, a warehouse, a cargo ship in the middle of the bay, and finally, a chemical plant. 3. Only standard feats, powers, equipment seen in the chosen medium for the combats can be referenced. No plot-induced stupidity. Plot armor or MacGuffins are allowed. Therefore, every reference brought up needs to be within reasonability and common throughout the combatant's history. Number 4. All combatants must be discussed based on how they are depicted in the chosen medium, such as morales, how they actually fight in combat. 5. All crossover collisions can be won by death, KO, or incapacitation. Specific battlegrounds have certain rules that allow victory that combatants are not aware of during a fight. A battleground cannot be won via battlefield removal, mind control, outside interference, or crazy powers such as reality warping or control over time. 6. Victory for a crossover collision will be determined by our point system.
Now, there's a point system we developed, and we scored all fights based on points. You've kind of got a taste of that here in the past with if we had a tie in Season 3. Now, the point system for our battlegrounds are completely different, and Mr. Horrible here is going to break it down for you.
All right, the point system. Each battleground is worth 4 points. The host will individually determine how those points are distributed between the combatants based on the discussion between them and how strongly or poorly they individually think certain situations may favor combatant. A combatant who dominates the battleground gains 4 points while their opponent receives none. If a combatant is heavily favored but has the possibility of losing, they receive 3 points. Their opponent receives 1 for having a small chance of winning the battleground. The points are split at 2 apiece between the combatants if they both have a solid chance of winning the battleground. At the end of 3 battleground discussions, the host will tally up their individual scores before combining them to declare a winner for a crossover collision. In the event of a tie, another battleground will be randomly selected per the rules and discussed in the attempt to declare a winner.
So if you're wondering, how would we randomly determine battlegrounds? As everybody knows, me and Evan the Great are huge tabletop RPG players, and we randomly roll this D8 dice to determine what battleground's chosen. If a number comes back up on the dice between battleground 2 or 3, we just literally re-roll the die until one of the numbers we need shows up. And basically, the point of this is to not show favoritism to either of the combatants.
All right, now I've got to go over powers, abilities, and equipment, which this is going to be pretty long for him, people, so bear with me. Let's talk about Batman first. Powers, abilities. Obviously, has a genius level IQ. He's a master combatant and tactician. He has that peak human physical attributes for his body. He also has indomitable will. He's the world's greatest detective. He also, surprisingly to most of you people out there, you probably don't know this, he has knowledge of the occult and magic, which is one of the things that people kept bringing up to us. So here's some examples of his spell casting. He knows the exorcism spell, which he uses on an alternate dead man to entrap him in a crystal. He's dispelled Cersei's magic. He has casted magical chains to bind Superman. And here recently, with the chains, is he's created magical armor to deal with powerful enemies such as alternative versions of Superman, which basically makes him a large mech that fires Eldritch Blast that can take down 3 Superman at one time. So these are some of the things that were pointed out to us. Now, he's learned all this magic from Zatanna, the backwards magic, so go figure. So as for equipment, let's talk about Batsuit first. He has Kevlar bodysuit with some titanium plating, bulletproof against small caliber bullets depending on who's writing the book. They are also blade resistant. He has resistance to all types of impacts from explosions, blunt force trauma. The suit is fireproof. It's insulated against electric shock. Gauntlets and boots are nullified to help reduce the impact of some of his punches against weaker opponents if he needs to. It also has a localized EMP for shutting off cameras and other such. The cape, it can become rigid with small electrical shock, allowing it to glide. You see a lot of that in the Nolan films. It is also lead-lined for blocking X-rays. There's your answer for every time he disappears right in front of Superman. Let's talk about the cowl. It has a heads-up display. It has infrared and night vision. It has auditory sensors. It has scanners. It has a translator. It has signal scramblers. It has a taser security system just in case it's removed. I don't think Dr. Doom cares who the Batman is. He probably already knows. Let's talk about that utility belt with all those wonderful toys. He has a gas-powered grappling gun, batarangs, all types of those. More on those later. He has smoke pellets, grenades, or canisters. Types of other grenades and canisters he has. Flash, tear gas, knockout. He carries small explosives. He has a small cutting laser. He has lockpicks, a gas mask, a rebreather, handcuffs, first aid kit, mini GPS trackers, a net gun. He carries bolas. He carries hardening foam capsules to encase people in foam. He has vials of acid. He has a dart gun with tranquilizers. He has a high voltage taser and the almighty MacGuffin, the kryptonite ring. Let's go back and talk about those batarangs. He has the standard battering. He has explosive batterings. He has electric shock batterings. He has sonic batterings. He has heated or hot plated batterings. He has remote control batterings. And he also has EMP batterings. Now, one thing me and Evan the Great, even though he's not here and I have my great friend Hawk the Horrible here, that we talked about doing this year, is we're going to allow vehicles. Yes, vehicles. And we're going to talk about the Batmobile. And here's just a good breakdown of the Batmobile over the years. So, onboard instruments, it has a closed circuit television, it has a handset, handset with direct hotline to Commissioner Gordon. Man, you guys, you gotta bear with me, there's a lot going on here, and I'm already thirsty. I haven't even got to Doom yet. It has GPS mapping and tracking, it has a localized radar, it has built-in sonic rangefinder, it has a shortwave police radio with microphone, it has a Geiger counter, has direct satellite link to the Bat computer, and sometimes to the JLA computer. It has a sensor array, enhanced intel for retcon capabilities. It has a highly sophisticated AI system. It has a remote control guidance system. It has an emergency dashboard signal to the Justice League. Let's talk about equipment. It has spare Batman and Robin costumes and utility belts. It has gas masks and breathing apparatuses. It has emergency searchlights. It has a traveling crime lab, it has portable first aid kits, a fire extinguisher, industrial tool set, inflatable rubber rafts. Don't know why we would need those. It has containment units. It's not like he's going to capture Doom, even though that's the goal. He's probably going to have to kill Doom to stop him. He has grappling equipment. I say that, but it's Dr. Doom and it's Batman. Batman has a good chance of catching everybody. And just for our guys over at the Multiverse of Badness, this was listed for the Batmobile. It has Abesto costumes. Go listen to them, guys. They have a hilarious comic book podcast. As for the mobility of the Batmobile, it has a Wayne Tech 1200 BHP hybrid power cell connected to nitromethane afterburner that gives it all that horsepower and speed. To deal with all that, it is fitted with advanced synthetic fiber composite hydraulic gyroscopic static bonded tires. Jesus, that is a lot. These tires are set with hydraulic impact absorbers and a graphite composite high-speed hydraulic cylinder air brakes with regenerative energy mechanisms to deal with all that power as well. Now, to control the turns and angles of with dealing with all this speed, he has a multi-purpose grapple claw. I'm glad Hawk has his mic on mute, because I imagine he's only laughing at all of this. And just in case he crashes during all that, he has electromagnetic ejector seats. Let's talk about the weaponry. He has a laser infrared homing 5mg high explosive CL-20 HMX crystallizing mobile missiles. Yeah, you heard me right. He has a 25mm Vulcan cannon with 60mm high cannon explosive penetrator shells mounted to each side of the Batmobile that can come out on command. And he also has a riot suppressor, which sounds very mediocre compared to the rest of this. For his offenses, he has 120mm carbon nanotube, a great explosive reactive armor plating. Jesus Christ, where did they come up with all this? It has electroshock defenses when touched, and it has smoke screen devices. Why can't all of it be that simple? Alright, let's go ahead and move on to Dr. Doom power and abilities. I promise you this will not be as long. He has a genius level IQ, he is a master combatant and tactician, he has indomitable will, and much like Batman, he knows has knowledge of the occult and magic. Some spellcasting from Dr. Doom. He has Eldritch or Mystical Blast. He has force field, teleportation, dimensional travel, dispelling of magic. He can summon portals or gateways. He can summon otherworldly entities. He can also banish them and people if he chooses so. He has elemental manipulation. He has enchantments. He has telekinesis, hypnotism, mental defenses, healing, and mystical ensnaring traps. He's also a highly skilled pianist and painter. Let's talk about that armor. That's the only equipment Dr. Doom carries, which is enchanted titanium armor, or enhanced titanium armor. I'm almost done here, folks. Bear with me. So, it enhances his strength. It enhances his durability. It has concussive blast gauntlets. It has a force field generator. It has a neural disruptor, which is basically electrical shock defenses. It has energy adapters. It has a magnetic polarity controller for people like Magneto. It has flight, it has a teleportation device, it has infrared vision, it has a sensor array, it has solar energy absorption to fuel the thermal units that power the suit, but it also has a life support system. Hawk, after all this ranting, which is probably close to 10 minutes, please tell me you have no questions and we can continue.
Nope.
Alright, thank you. Now, let's talk about the teletape. Is it fair to say that Doom controls most of the teletape?
I don't know. Batman is very talented at throwing batarangs from a mile out and still hit his target. Entirely joking.
Well, throwing batarangs at a mile out is why we're actually going to talk Battlegrounds today, which is going to make this very interesting because that's where Batman holds a lot of his advantage. Because Battlegrounds are a weapon to him. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take our break. I'm going to play a promo from Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, which I'm bringing back from hiatus now that, you know, my son's a little bit older now. But it's where I traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. You can go check that out. There's close to about 20 episodes, and hopefully here real soon I start getting those back out every Wednesday. So take a listen to that. And when we come back, me and Hawk are actually going to dive in to how Battlegrounds play out between the Dark Knight Detective and the Lord of Latveria. Did the Iron Fist Netflix series leave a bad taste in your mouth? Are you caught up in the hype of Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings? Have you ever wondered what these characters' true origins and adventures are like, but you don't have the time to read through hundreds and hundreds of issues? Then subscribe to the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, where I, JVD, traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. Each week, I break down a story arc and discuss the good and the bad within the pages to save you hours of reading through comics so you can focus on the best of which each character has to offer. New episodes drop every Wednesday for you to listen to on your way to your local comic book shop to pick up your pull list. And welcome back to Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JVD, and Hawk the Horrible, as we get ready to tangle with Batman vs. Dr. Doom and our Battlegrounds. And if you have made it this far and you think Batman stands any chance against Dr. Doom and our Battlegrounds, then you're a fool. And April Fools, no way in the world Batman beats Dr. Doom.
Lovely juices.
Welcome, henchmen, to another discussion and informative packed episode of Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man. Here on the podcast, we take two of your favorite characters from fiction, break down a tale of the tape to discuss their physical abilities and skills before focusing on important combat situations in a crossover battle.
In the end, the hosts individually decide who wins based on the strongest evidence presented. As always, I'm your host, JVD, and with me is a fellow member of the Villains Demand, the host of the Phantom Fusion podcast, my good friend, Hawk the Horrible. Hawk, what's your opinion of this matchup for today?
This is a decisive match. I think fans are going to be back and forth on how this goes.
And what Hawk's referring to is today we are talking about Batman versus Doctor Doom. Now, right out of the gate, most people that read comics or just know anything about comics in general think, oh, this is a horrible, horrible mismatch. But here on the show, we always talk battlegrounds, which gives some people some type of advantage, which we've always claimed that's what Batman needs. And then after a couple of talks on some message boards that we're a part of and some sites with some of our fans, and then even we talked to a couple of our friends out on Twitter about it, we decided we're going to do it here on the show. Now, last year we actually did Batman versus Doctor Doom, but we did infamous Iron Man versus the Hellbat armor with Brian from Cheers Comics. I would tell you to go subscribe to his podcast, but he doesn't have his podcast anymore. He sells comic books online, so if you're into comics, hit Brian up. Go buy some comics from him. Tell him JVD from the Villains Man sent you. Now, with what both these guys bring to the table, we're trying to shave a lot of time off today's episode because it's going to be long. Usually, a long form here. So, here's your warning: we're going to talk spoilers from the comics. These guys have been around since the 1940s and 1960s, so technically there shouldn't be any spoilers. But we are warning you: we are referencing a lot of the stuff from comics. Now, also remember, these are just our opinions as we're discussing these fight, so don't take them as facts unless you want to, and if you do so, you do so at your own risk.
So, Hawk, anything you want to point out, get out of your system before we move on to the rules of Crossover Collision?
No, not really. I'm just excited.
All right, well, please read us the rules of the Battleground version of Crossover Collision.
All right, rule number one, the combatants will battle in three separate encounters, each in a different randomly chosen battleground. Each battle is a chance encounter to eliminate prep time that begins at 100 feet apart. Rule two, during the battles, neither combatant can leave the specified battleground regardless if the combatant has the means to do so. Our eight battlegrounds are a jungle, city street, a salvage yard, the rooftop of a 10-story building, a medieval water cistern, a warehouse, a cargo ship in the middle of the bay, and finally, a chemical plant. 3. Only standard feats, powers, equipment, scene, and the chosen medium for the combats can be referenced. No plot-induced stupidity, plot armor, or MacGuffins are allowed. Therefore, every reference brought up needs to be within reasonability and common throughout the combatant's history. Number 4. All combatants must be discussed based on how they are depicted in the chosen mediums, such as morales, how they actually fight in combat. 5. All crossover collisions can be won by death, KO, or incapacitation. Specific battlegrounds have certain rules that allow victory that combatants are not aware of during a fight. A battleground cannot be won via battlefield removal, mind control, outside interference, or crazy powers such as reality warping or control over time. 6. Victory for a crossover collision will be determined by our point system.
Now, there is a point system we developed, and we scored all fights based on points. You've kind of got a taste of that here in the past with if we had a tie in Season 3. Now, the point system for our battlegrounds are completely different, and Mr. Horrible here is going to break it down for you.
All right, the point system. Each battleground is worth 4 points. The host will individually determine how those points are distributed between the combatants based on the discussion between them and how strongly or poorly they individually think certain situations may favor combatant. A combatant who dominates the battleground gains 4 points while their opponent receives none. If a combatant is heavily favored but has the possibility of losing, they receive 3 points. Their opponent receives 1 for having a small chance of winning the battleground. The points are split at 2 apiece between the combatants if they both have a solid chance of winning the battleground. At the end of 3 battleground discussions, the host will tally up their individual scores before combining them to declare a winner for a crossover collision. In the event of a tie, another battleground will be randomly selected per the rules and discussed in the attempt to declare a winner.
So if you're wondering, how would you randomly determine battlegrounds? As everybody knows, me and Evan the Great are huge tabletop RPG players, and we randomly roll this D8 dice to determine what battleground's chosen. The number comes back up on the dice between battleground 2 or 3. We just literally re-roll the die until one of the numbers we need shows up. And basically, the point of this is to not show favoritism to either of the combatants.
All right, now I've got to go over powers, abilities, and equipment, which this is going to be pretty long for him, people, so bear with me. Let's talk about Batman first. Powers, abilities, obviously has a genius level IQ. He's a master combatant and tactician. He has that peak human physical attributes for his body. He also has indomitable will. He's the world's greatest detective. He also, surprisingly to most of you people out there, you probably don't know this, he has a knowledge of the occult and magic, which is one of the things that people kept bringing up to us. So here's some examples of his spell casting. He knows the exorcism spell, which he uses on an alternate dead man to entrap him in a crystal. He's dispelled Cersei's magic. He has casted magical chains to bind Superman. And here recently, with the chains, is he's created magical armor to deal with powerful enemies such as alternative versions of Superman, which basically makes him a large mech that fires Eldritch Blast that can take down 3 Superman at one time. So these are some of the things that were pointed out to us. Now, he's learned all this magic from Zatanna, the backwards magic, so go figure. So as for equipment, let's talk about Batsuit first. He has Kevlar bodysuit with some titanium plating, bulletproof against small caliber bullets depending on who's writing the book. They are also blade resistant. He has resistance to all types of impacts from explosions, blunt force trauma. The suit is fireproof. It's insulated against electric shock. Gauntlets and boots are nullified to help reduce the impact of some of his punches against weaker opponents if he needs to. It also has a localized EMP for shutting off cameras and other such. The cape, it can become rigid with small electrical shock, allowing it to glide. You see a lot of that in the Nolan films. It is also lead-lined for blocking X-rays. There's your answer for every time he disappears right in front of Superman. Let's talk about the cowl. It has a heads-up display. It has infrared and night vision. It has auditory sensors, it has scanners, it has a translator, it has signal scramblers, it has a taser security system just in case it's removed. I don't think Dr. Doom cares who the Batman is. He probably already knows. Let's talk about that utility belt with all those wonderful toys. He has a gas-powered grappling gun, batarangs, all types of those. More on those later. He has smoke pellets, grenades, or canisters. Types of other grenades and canisters he has. Flash, tear gas, knockout. He carries small explosives. He has a small cutting laser. He has lockpicks, a gas mask, a rebreather, handcuffs, first aid kit, mini GPS trackers, a net gun. He carries bolas. He carries hardening foam capsules to encase people in foam. He has vials of acid. He has a dart gun with tranquilizers. He has a high voltage taser and the almighty MacGuffin, the kryptonite ring. Let's go back and talk about those batarangs. He has the standard battering, he has explosive batterings, he has electric shock batterings, he has sonic batterings, he has heated or hot plated batterings, he has remote control batterings, and he also has EMP batterings. Now, one thing me and Evan the Great, even though he's not here and I have my great friend Hawk the Horrible here, that we talked about doing this year, is we're going to allow vehicles. Yes, vehicles, and we're going to talk about the Batmobile, and here's just a good breakdown of the Batmobile over the years. So, onboard instruments, it has a closed circuit television, it has a handset, handset with direct hotline to Commissioner Gordon. Man, you guys, you gotta bear with me, there's a lot going on here, and I'm already thirsty. I haven't even got to Doom yet. It has GPS mapping and tracking, it has a localized radar, it has built-in sonic rangefinder, it has a shortwave police radio with microphone, it has a Geiger counter, has direct satellite link to the Bat computer, and sometimes to the JLA computer. It has a sensor array, enhanced intel for retcon capabilities, it has a highly sophisticated AI system, it has a remote control guidance system, it has an emergency dashboard signal to the Justice League. Let's talk about equipment. It has spare Batman and Robin costumes and utility belts. It has gas masks and breathing apparatuses. has emergency searchlights, has a traveling crime lab, has portable first aid kits, a fire extinguisher, industrial tool set, inflatable rubber rafts. Don't know why we would need those. He has containment units. It's not like he's going to capture Doom, even though that's the goal. He's probably going to have to kill Doom to stop him. He has grappling equipment. I say that, but it's Dr. Doom and it's Batman. Batman has a good chance of catching everybody. And just for our guys over at the Multiverse of Badness, this was listed for the Batmobile. It has Abesto costumes. Go listen to them, guys. They have a hilarious comic book podcast. As for the mobility of the Batmobile, it has a Wayne Tech 1200 BHP hybrid power cell connected to nitromethane afterburner that gives it all that horsepower and speed. To deal with all that, it is fitted with advanced synthetic fiber composite hydraulic gyroscopic static bonded tires. Jesus, that is a lot. These tires are set with hydraulic impact absorbers and a graphite composite high-speed hydraulic cylinder air brakes with regenerative energy mechanisms to deal with all that power as well. Now, to control the turns and angles of dealing with all this speed, he has a multi-purpose grapple claw. I'm glad Hawk has his mic on mute, because I imagine he's only laughing at all of this. And just in case he crashes during all that, he has electromagnetic ejector seats. Let's talk about the weaponry. He has a laser infrared homing 5mg high explosive CL-20 HMX crystallized mobile missiles. Yeah, you heard me right. He has a 25mm Vulcan cannon with 60mm high cannon explosive penetrator shells mounted to each side of the Batmobile that can come out on command. And he also has a riot suppressor, which sounds very mediocre compared to the rest of this. For his offenses, he has 120mm carbon nanotube, a great explosive reactive armor plating. Jesus Christ, where did they come up with all this? It has electroshock defenses when touched, and it has smoke screen devices. Why can't all of it be that simple? Alright, let's go ahead and move on to Dr. Doom power and abilities. I promise you this will not be as long. He has a genius level IQ. He is a master combatant tactician. He has indomitable will, and much like Batman, he knows has knowledge of the occult and magic. Some spell casting from Dr. Doom. He has Eldritch or Mystical Blast. He has force field, teleportation, dimensional travel, dispelling of magic. He can summon portals or gateways. He can summon otherworldly entities. He can also banish them and people if he chooses so. He has elemental manipulation. He has enchantments. He has telekinesis, hypnotism, mental defenses, healing, and mystical ensnaring traps. He's also a highly skilled pianist and painter. Let's talk about that armor. That's the only equipment Dr. Doom carries, which is enchanted titanium armor, or enhanced titanium armor. I'm almost done here, folks. Bear with me. So, it enhances his strength. It enhances his durability. It has concussive blast gauntlets. It has a force field generator. It has a neural disruptor, which is basically electrical shock defenses. It has energy adapters. It has a magnetic polarity controller for people like Magneto. It has flight, it has a teleportation device, it has infrared vision, it has a sensor array. It has solar energy absorption to fuel the thermal units that power the suit. It also has a life support system. Hawk, after all this ranting, which is probably close to 10 minutes, please tell me you have no questions and we can continue.
Nope.
All right. Thank you. Now, let's talk about the teletape. Is it fair to say that Doom controls most of the teletape?
I don't know. Batman is very talented at throwing batarangs from a mile out and still hit his target. Entirely joking.
Well, throwing batarangs at a mile out is why we're actually going to talk Battlegrounds today, which is going to make this very interesting because that's where Batman holds a lot of his advantage. Because Battlegrounds are a weapon to him. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take our break. I'm going to play a promo from Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, which I'm bringing back from hiatus now that, you know, my son's a little bit older now. But it's where I traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. You can go check that out. There's close to about 20 episodes, and hopefully here real soon I start getting those back out every Wednesday. So take a listen to that. And when we come back, me and Hawk are actually going to dive in to how battlegrounds play out between the Dark Knight Detective and the Lord of Latveria. Did the Iron Fist Netflix series leave a bad taste in your mouth? Are you caught up in the hype of Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings? Have you ever wondered what these characters' true origins and adventures are like, but you don't have the time to read through hundreds and hundreds of issues? Then subscribe to the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, where I, JVD, traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artists in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. Each week, I break down a story arc and discuss the good and the bad within the pages to save you hours of reading through comics so you can focus on the best of which each character has to offer. New episodes drop every Wednesday for you to listen to on your way to your local comic book shop to pick up your pull list. And welcome back to Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JVD, and Hawk the Horrible, as we get ready to tangle with Batman vs. Dr. Doom and our battlegrounds. And if you have made it this far and you think Batman stands any chance against Dr. Doom in our battlegrounds, then you're a fool. And April Fool's. No way in the world Batman beats Dr. Doom.
Lovely juices.
Welcome, henchmen, to another discussion and informative packed episode of Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man. Here on the podcast, we take two of your favorite characters from fiction, break down a tale of the tape to discuss their physical abilities and skills before focusing on important combat situations in a crossover battle. In the end, the hosts individually decide who wins based on the strongest evidence presented. As always, I'm your host, JVD, and with me is a fellow member of the Villains Man, the host of the Phantom Fusion podcast, my good friend, Hawk the Horrible. Hawk, what's your opinion of this matchup for today?
This is a decisive match. I think fans are going to be back and forth on how this goes.
And what Hawk's referring to is today we are talking about Batman versus Dr. Doom. Now, right out of the gate, most people that read comics or just know anything about comics in general think, oh, this is a horrible, horrible mismatch. But here on the show, we always talk battlegrounds, which gives some people some type of advantage, which we've always claimed that's what Batman needs. And then after a couple of talks on some message boards that we're a part of and some sites with some of our fans, and then even we talked to a couple of our friends out on Twitter about it, we decided we're going to do it here on the show. Now, last year we actually did Batman vs. Dr. Doom, but we did Infamous Iron Man vs. the Hellbat Armor with Brian from Cheers Comics. I would tell you to go subscribe to his podcast, but he doesn't have his podcast anymore. He sells comic books online, so if you're into comics, hit Brian up, go buy some comics from him, tell him JVD from the Villains Man sent you. Now, with what both these guys bring to the table, we're trying to shave a lot of time off today's episode, because it's going to be long, usually a long form here. So here's your warning. We're going to talk spoilers from the comics. These guys have been around since the 1940s and 1960s. So technically there shouldn't be any spoilers, but we are warning you, we are referencing a lot of the stuff from comics. Now also remember, these are just our opinions as we're discussing these fights. So don't take them as facts unless you want to. And if you do so, you do so at your own risk.
So, Hawk, anything you want to point out, get out of your system before we move on to the rules of Crossover Collision?
No, not really. I'm just excited.
All right. Well, please read us the rules of the Battleground version of Crossover Collision.
All right. Rule number one, the combatants will battle in three separate encounters, each in a different randomly chosen battleground. Each battle is a chance encounter to eliminate prep time that begins at 100 feet apart. Rule 2. During the battles, neither combatant can leave the specified battleground, regardless if the combatant has the means to do so. Our eight battlegrounds are a jungle, city street, a salvage yard, the the rooftop of a 10-story building, a medieval water cistern, a warehouse, a cargo ship in the middle of the bay, and finally, a chemical plant. 3. Only standard feats, powers, equipment, scene, and the chosen medium for the combats can be referenced. No plot-induced stupidity. Plot armor or MacGuffins are allowed. Therefore, every reference brought up needs to be within reasonability and common throughout the combatant's history. Number 4. All combatants must be discussed based on how they are depicted in the chosen medium, such as morales, how they actually fight in combat. 5. All crossover collisions can be won by death, KO, or incapacitation. Specific battlegrounds have certain rules that allow victory that combatants are not aware of during a fight. A battleground cannot be won via battlefield removal, mind control, outside interference, or crazy powers such as reality warping or control over time. 6. Victory for a crossover collision will be determined by our point system.
Now, there's a point system we developed, and we scored all fights based on points. You've kind of got a taste of that here in the past with if we had a tie in Season 3. Now, the point system for our battlegrounds are completely different, and Mr. Horrible here is going to break it down for you.
All right, the point system. Each battleground is worth 4 points. The host will individually determine how those points are distributed between the combatants based on the discussion between them and how strongly or poorly they individually think certain situations may favor combatant. A combatant who dominates the battleground gains 4 points while their opponent receives none. If a combatant is heavily favored but has the possibility of losing, they receive 3 points. Their opponent receives 1 for having a small chance of winning the battleground. The points are split at 2 apiece between the combatants if they both have a solid chance of winning the battleground. At the end of 3 battleground discussions, the host will tally up their individual scores before combining them to declare a winner for a crossover collision. In the event of a tie, another battleground will be randomly selected per the rules and discussed in the attempt to declare a winner.
So if you're wondering, how would you randomly determine battlegrounds? As everybody knows, me and Evan the Great are huge tabletop RPG players, and we randomly roll this D8 dice to determine what battleground's chosen. If the number comes back up on the dice between battleground 2 or 3, we just literally re-roll the die until one of the numbers we need shows up. And basically, the point of this is to not show favoritism to either of the combatants.
All right, now I've got to go over powers, abilities, and equipment, which this is going to be pretty long for him, people, so bear with me. Let's talk about Batman first. Powers, abilities. Obviously, he has a genius level IQ. He's a master combatant and tactician. He has that peak human physical attributes for his body. He also has indomitable will. He's the world's greatest detective. He also, surprisingly to most of you people out there, you probably don't know this, he has a knowledge of the occult and magic, which is one of the things that people kept bringing up to us. So here's some examples of his spell casting. He knows the exorcism spell, which he uses on an alternate dead man to entrap him in a crystal. He's dispelled Cersei's magic. He has casted magical chains to bind Superman. And here recently, with the chains, is he's created magical armor to deal with powerful enemies such as alternative versions of Superman, which basically makes him a large mech that fires Eldritch Blast that can take down 3 Superman at one time. So these are some of the things that were pointed out to us. Now, he's learned all this magic from Zatanna, the backwards magic, so go figure. So as for equipment, let's talk about Batsuit first. He has Kevlar bodysuit with some titanium plating, bulletproof against small caliber bullets, depending on who's writing the book. They are also blade resistant. He has resistance to all types of impacts from explosions, blunt force trauma. The suit is fireproof. It's insulated against electric shock. Gauntlets and boots are nullified to help reduce the impact of some of his punches against weaker opponents if he needs to. It also has a localized EMP for shutting off cameras and other such. The cape, it can become rigid with small electrical shock, allowing it to glide. You see a lot of that in the Nolan films. It is also lead-lined for blocking X-rays. There's your answer for every time he disappears right in front of Superman. Let's talk about the cowl. It has a heads-up display, it has infrared and night vision, it has auditory sensors, it has scanners, it has a translator, it has signal scramblers, it has a taser security system just in case it's removed. I don't think Dr. Doom cares who the Batman is. He probably already knows. Let's talk about that utility built with all those wonderful toys. He has a gas-powered grappling gun, batarangs, all types of those. More on those later. He has smoke pellets, grenades, or canisters. Types of other grenades and canisters he has. Flash, tear gas, knockout. He carries small explosives. He has a small cutting laser. He has lockpicks, a gas mask, a rebreather, handcuffs, first aid kit, mini GPS trackers, a net gun. He carries bolas. He carries hardening foam capsules to encase people in foam. He has vials of acid. He has a dart gun with tranquilizers. He has a high voltage taser and the almighty MacGuffin, the kryptonite ring. Let's go back and talk about those batarangs. He has the standard batarang. He has explosive batarangs. He has electric shock batarangs. He has sonic batarangs. He has heated or hot plated batarangs. He has remote control batarangs. And he also has EMP batarangs. Now, one thing me and Evan the Great, even though he's not here and I have my great friend Hawk the Horrible here, that we talked about doing this year, is we're going to allow vehicles. Yes, vehicles. And we're going to talk about the Batmobile. And here's just a good breakdown of the Batmobile over the years. So, onboard instruments, it has a closed circuit television, it has a handset with direct hotline to Commissioner Gordon. Man, you guys, you gotta bear with me, there's a lot going on here, and I'm already thirsty. I haven't even got to Doom yet. It has GPS mapping and tracking, it has a localized radar, it has built-in sonic rangefinder, it has a shortwave police radio with microphone, it has a Geiger counter, has direct satellite link to the Bat computer, and sometimes to the JLA computer. It has a sensor array, enhanced intel for retcon capabilities, it has a highly sophisticated AI system, it has a remote control guidance system, it has an emergency dashboard signal to the Justice League. Let's talk about equipment. It has spare Batman and Robin costumes and utility belts. It has gas masks and breathing apparatuses. It has emergency searchlights. It has a traveling crime lab, has portable first aid kits, a fire extinguisher, industrial tool set, inflatable rubber rafts. Don't know why we would need those. It has containment units. It's not like he's going to capture Doom, even though that's the goal. He's probably going to have to kill Doom to stop him. He has grappling equipment. I say that, but it's Dr. Doom and it's Batman. Batman has a good chance of catching everybody. And just for our guys over at the Multiverse of Badness, this was listed for the Batmobile. It has Abesto costumes. Go listen to them, guys. They have a hilarious comic book podcast. As for the mobility of the Batmobile, it has a Wayne Tech 1200 BHP hybrid power cell connected to nitromethane afterburner that gives it all that horsepower and speed. To deal with all that, it is fitted with advanced synthetic fiber composite hydraulic gyroscopic static bonded tires. Jesus, that is a lot. These tires are set with hydraulic impact absorbers and a graphite composite high-speed hydraulic cylinder air brakes with regenerative energy mechanisms to deal with all that power as well. Now, to control the turns and angles of with dealing with all this speed, he has a multi-purpose grapple claw. I'm glad Hawk has his mic on mute, because I imagine he's only laughing at all of this. And just in case he crashes during all that, he has electromagnetic ejector seats. Let's talk about the weaponry. He has a laser infrared homing 5mm high explosive CL-20 HMX crystallizing mobile missiles. Yeah, you heard me right. He has a 25mm Vulcan cannon with 60mm high cannon explosive penetrator shells mounted to each side of the Batmobile that can come out on command. And he also has a riot suppressor, which sounds very mediocre compared to the rest of this. For his offenses, he has 120mm carbon nanotube, a great explosive reactive armor plating. Jesus Christ, where did they come up with all this? It has electroshock defenses when touched, and it has smoke screen devices. Why can't all of it be that simple? Alright, let's go ahead and move on to Dr. Doom power and abilities. I promise you this will not be as long. He has a genius level IQ, he is a master combatant tactician, he has indomitable will, and much like Batman, he knows has knowledge of the occult and magic. Some spellcasting from Dr. Doom. He has Eldritch or Mystical Blast. He has force field, teleportation, dimensional travel, dispelling of magic. He can summon portals or gateways. He can summon otherworldly entities. He can also banish them and people if he chooses so. He has elemental manipulation. He has enchantments. He has telekinesis, hypnotism, mental defenses, healing, and mystical ensnaring traps. He's also a highly skilled pianist and painter. Let's talk about that armor. That's the only equipment Doctorgan carries, which is enchanted titanium armor, or enhanced titanium armor. I'm almost done here, folks. Bear with me. So, it enhances his strength. It enhances his durability. It has concussive blast gauntlets. It has a force field generator. It has a neural disruptor, which is basically electrical shock defenses. It has energy adapters. It has a magnetic polarity controller for people like Magneto. It has flight. It has a teleportation device. It has infrared vision. It has a sensor array. It has solar energy absorption to fuel the thermal units that power the suit. It also has a life support system. Hawk. After all this ranting, which is probably close to 10 minutes, please tell me you have no questions and we can continue.
Nope.
All right. Thank you. Now, let's talk about the teletape. Is it fair to say that Doom controls most of the teletape?
I don't know. Batman is very talented at throwing batarangs from a mile out and still hit his target. Entirely joking.
Well, throwing batarangs at a mile out is why we're actually going to talk Battlegrounds today, which is going to make this very interesting because that's where Batman holds a lot of his advantage, because Battlegrounds are a weapon to him. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take our break. I'm going to play a promo from Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, which I'm bringing back from hiatus now that, you know, my son's a little bit older now. But it's where I traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. You can go check that out. There's close to about 20 episodes, and hopefully here real soon I start getting those back out every Wednesday. So take a listen to that. And when we come back, me and Hawk are actually going to dive in to how Battlegrounds play out between the Dark Knight Detective and the Lord of Latveria. Did the Iron Fist Netflix series leave a bad taste in your mouth? Are you caught up in the hype of Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings? Have you ever wondered what these characters' true origins and adventures are like, but you don't have the time to read through hundreds and hundreds of issues? Then subscribe to the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, where I, JVD, traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. Each week, I break down a story arc and discuss the good and the bad within the pages to save you hours of reading through comics so you can focus on the best of which each character has to offer. New episodes drop every Wednesday for you to listen to on your way to your local comic book shop to pick up your pull list. And welcome back to Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JVD, and Hawk the Horrible, as we get ready to tangle with Batman vs. Dr. Doom and our Battlegrounds. And if you have made it this far and you think Batman stands any chance against Dr. Doom in our Battlegrounds, then you're a fool. And April Fools, no way in the world Batman beats Dr. Doom.
Lovely juices. Lovely juices.